All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
Stuff episode 38.
Very exciting.
And the award goes to, well, you'll just have to wait and see who the awards go to until the second segment,
right?
According to my very carefully laid out agenda.
Ooh, look at your agenda. It's about time you had one of those.
We're practicing. We're getting in gear for January 6th.
We are.
The XM pilot of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
It's true.
From 11 p.m. to midnight.
It's true.
Followed, no doubt, by a very healthy dinner. We want all the listeners who are in the area to join us at WoHop, and that's at it's on Mott Street. I don't know the number, but it's the downstairs WoHop. There's two. There's one on the street level, and there's one downstairs. We're going to be celebrating the Big Kev's Geek Stuff pilot appearing on XM that night with a lovely dinner at WoHop somewhere between 12:45 and 1 a.m. On January the 6th. We encourage all of you to join us there if you're in the area.
Definitely.
It's on Mott Street. I really don't remember. I think it's 19, but I'm not sure.
They can look it up.
It's the downstairs one, not the street level, but the downstairs. Right.
So did you have a very nice Christmas, Kev?
I did. Did you have a nice Christmas?
I had a splendid Christmas. I got some wonderful gifts this year.
I noticed you were wearing, you're wearing several of them in the studio today.
I just couldn't help myself. The excitement has been overwhelming.
Why don't you go ahead and tell the folks what you got, junkie?
Well, in addition to the many gifts that I got, some of what I got this year was the Complete Visual Guide to Serenity.
Which is a book I don't have.
Ooh, we'll have to get you one of those. It's very nice.
But you don't have the visual guide to Firefly.
Not yet.
The first one, anyway.
Right. In addition to that, I also got the Serenity graphic novel, Those Left Behind.
Those Left Behind,
which
was
the three-issue miniseries that's supposed to bridge the Firefly television show and the movie, Serenity.
Right.
I got a Serenity t-shirt.
Yes, I see you're wearing your brown coat t-shirt.
I got a brown coat t-shirt. And the cream of the crop, the coup de grace, would be my Jane hat. My knit Jane hat. I love this thing.
Yes, in fact, you're seeing pictures of Matt in studio tonight, right now wearing the Jane hat.
It's true. It is the best hat ever. I was actually walking through my local mall the other evening wearing my Jane hat. I was going up an escalator, and from somewhere in the mall, although I don't know where because I couldn't find the guy, I heard someone actually yell out, Jane. So at least someone recognized it, which was great. It was a good feeling.
I'm actually envious because since you got it now, I can't really get it, you know, because I would be like following you and like, I don't want to do that, but I love that hat so much.
It is. It's so in.
It is so in. Oh, my God. I saw them literally sell, no lie, like 1,000 of them at San Diego.
At San Diego?
I don't even, I mean, the girl who's making them at San Diego, big Firefly table at San Diego. I met the guys who made the film Done the Impossible about the whole movement. And the girl was just knitting them.
Yeah.
Right there. I mean, and they were just, I don't know that she made two or three that whole weekend, but she had
tons for sale.
Stack of them, and they all sold. They were sold out by like Wednesday, by like Friday. They were sold out. It was amazing. What do we got in the what do we got in the news? As Fantastic is gesturing to me that we have to watch the time because you know we're on time now. Schedule.
We have Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Oh, is that the title?
That is the title for book 7.
That's the final book.
It is the final book announced earlier this week.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, now all the speculation starts and who's it about and who's going to die and yada yada.
Yeah, so this one includes the Fox announcer in the beginning and says in this episode,
yeah, exactly.
Someone will die
in a very special Harry Potter.
On an all new Harry Potter.
Exactly.
See, I do the Fox guy, too.
On Fox shows, it's always someone will die, and then they introduce a character in that episode and then kill him.
And then kill him. It's amazing.
Except when Misha Barton died, and everybody was like, really? Awesome.
Yo, they killed Misha Barton?
Come on, man.
Dude, I'm making a joke about the fact that you know that Misha Barton died on whatever. Is that the OC?
Listen, I watched the first season of the OC, and I tried to watch the first episode of the second season, and it was so bad I never watched one again. Although I did read, you know, Weekly that Misha Barton was killed on the show.
That's a shame.
Yeah, you follow the OC?
I got a girlfriend who reads those, you know, magazines that you get in that the aisles of supermarkets.
So what? I was seeing a stripper. I don't take off my clothes because I'm seeing a stripper.
All right, boys. You could stop fighting now. And instead,
but it doesn't make any sense.
You can stop fighting. Instead, we've got to get this out of the way early on this episode.
All right.
Cue up the stinger.
Transformer
movie.
Matt's losing his mind.
There it is.
All right. So we have our Transformers news, our weekly update. Two things this week. The Transformers trailer that we actually watched last week, we were all like, oh, we wish Prime had said something, blah, 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 blah. If you actually go to the Transformers movie website, transformersthemovie.com, I believe it is, there's the same exact trailer, but there's like an extra like 10 seconds at the back end of the trailer where the screen is just all black. And I believe Peter Cullen in the Optimus Prime voice says, freedom is the right of all sentient beings.
Can I get an example of that, Kev?
Freedom is the right of all sentient beings.
There you go.
There it is.
There it is.
Does he say it like that?
Yeah, he does. It's actually, you're getting better each week. You need to keep that up. Maybe you'll have a role in the second film if, you know, something happens.
I got a whole bunch of characters I'm doing now.
Ooh, well, good just for practice you. That one. Walk around all day and just repeat that line over and over again
just
while you're walking
one.
Around in public.
In addition to that, there was a viral marketing website that was released for the Transformer film. It's sector7.org. That's 7 spelled out. And when you pull up the screen, it asks for a password in order to access, you know, the website. And the password is Takara83.
Takara? How are we spelling that?
T-A-K-A-R-A. And then the number 8 and 3.
Okay.
What significance
does that
have? And
what does this bring us to?
It brings you to a website that it's kind of like, it's like a military-based website. Mm-hmm. And it has like briefings and it's supposed to have some images eventually of the Transformers and stuff like that.
So it's kind of like the Blair Witch Project website and the Lost.
Like the Lost website, the Dharma Initiative website and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's an ARG, alternate reality game, where you kind of like participate by getting the clues and going to the website and answering phones and things like that.
Right.
Yeah. Those are cool.
It's kind of neat. I mean, there's not a lot on it right now, but I believe, or I'm pretty positive, they'll continue to update it and they'll continue to add more stuff as it gets closer to the movie time. So
very cool. I have a little thing myself here about films.
All right.
Cue up the stinger.
Stinger?
Yeah.
For what?
I met this 6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face.
You've got to believe me, officer. He is coming to Haddonfield.
And there's the stinger for the film news I'll be following.
Okay.
In order to mock you,
great.
I will be following Rob Zombie's Halloween remake.
I don't think there's going to be a
whole
lot of
news and features every week about Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Oh, can I have one of these? Do this, and then I want to tell you the one I want.
Okay. Sure, we'll all do one.
Bastards. I hate you all.
Transformers.
Hey, that all thing right. is loved by the fans.
That's great.
Adored by all.
Rob Zombie is remaking Halloween. For those of you that don't know, one casting that has already been announced is that Malcolm McDowell will be playing Dr. Loomis, which is very fucking cool.
It is pretty cool.
Malcolm McDowell, of course, you may remember from such films as...
Wasn't he in one of the Star Treks?
He was in one of the Star Treks. Oh.
Generations? Is it
he
that
was
one?
In Generations.
I wouldn't
he
know
was,
that.
The bad guy from Generations.
Oh, how yeah, about, actually, I did know that.
How about a little film called Clockwork Orange?
Oh,
from
yeah.
From a little filmmaker you might know as Stanley Kubrick.
I forgot about that. Well,
he also was in a fantastically underrated movie called Time After Time.
Oh,
where
wow,
he played
yeah.
H.G. Wells mm-hmm. pursuing Jack the Ripper. Ripper into the future, which would be 1980s.
Right.
Yeah, he's a great guy for the genre. He pops up in all sorts of things.
He does.
The rumor mm-hmm. is that the adult Michael Myers in the Halloween remake will be played by none other than Tyler Mane.
Ooh.
From X-Men 1 fame, he played Sabretooth.
He is a large man. Certainly appropriate to fit into that costume, I would say.
He also played Ajax in the movie Troy, which
yes.
is one of my guilty pleasure movies.
Yes, yes, it's true.
And he was not in any way in my other guilty pleasure movie.
Anything starring Alicia Witt.
Euro Trip.
Oh.
Close.
Scusi.
Yeah. Scusi. Yeah. I love that stupid movie. I don't know. So Tyler Mane, rumored to be playing Michael Myers in the Rob Zombie remake of Halloween. Very exciting stuff.
Which kind
of
sucks for him, right? Because the only role where you can act less than he act in X-Men as Sabretooth is possibly behind a mask in a Halloween movie.
Potentially.
Right.
You know?
Again, why they're remaking Halloween is beyond me. But, you know, I guess it's Rob Zombie, so there's something to be said
it's
about
time.
That. Is it time?
Who's going to play the Jamie Lee Curtis role? That's going to be a huge casting right there.
God only knows. Well, I've also heard some other rumored news potentially this week. I read this week that they've potentially found someone to play Speed Racer.
Really?
In that Wachowski brother film that they're apparently working on.
Hmm. That's still not dead, huh?
No, it's still not dead. And rumored... potential would be Keanu Reeves in the role of Speed Racer.
Ew. I mean...
ew on all fronts, really, but ew.
Okay.
But hopefully it's just a rumor, but it's too early to tell.
I can't think of anyone who could be an anime character with a completely round head or whatever he has.
He's got that squared off kind of head.
Well, you know what though?
I think without question it should be Johnny Knoxville.
Right. I would agree with you. And actually that would go with what I'm about to say next, which is Art Asylum has recently released some new Speed Racer toys.
Yes, they're actually really cool.
In various scales, right. They're mm-hmm. awesome. And they're based on some of the new animation for the new Speed Racer
right.
Cartoon.
Which is like the son of Speed Racer.
Something along
something.
Those lines.
Right.
But the character designs are a little bit more appropriate for a translation to film, I think, than the original designs.
Right.
And Johnny Knoxville certainly, or actually Vince Vaughn might fit in there as well.
I think I could Johnny say, Knoxville as
Speed
Racer.
And Vince Vaughn as Racer X.
Absolutely.
You'd have a hit on your hands, no doubt.
I mean, they'd have to go, maybe they're trying to be serious, which I think is a big, giant mistake.
And who has Trixie? And Chim Chim.
In that mix?
Yeah.
Who has Trixie?
Yeah. Jessica Simpson?
No. No, she's so overdone. She's so played.
And fake.
No, somebody really funny.
Yeah,
I don't know. Funny chicks, fantastic.
Isn't that like the big problem with the world?
So since we can't pick a funny woman, let's go to the...
I'd say we open it up to the listeners.
All right.
Who do you think in a Vince Vaughn as Racer X and Johnny Knoxville as Speed Racer, who do you think should play Trixie? There you go. Write us. Tell us what you think. Guys over at Foo Woosh Woosh. Foo Shwoosh.
Wooshnet.com.
Is that where they are?
Yes.
Wooshnet.com. Guys over there, I'm expecting to hear from you.
They would affectionately refer to us as the douche nozzles.
I know. The two douche nozzles are asking you for your input. There you go. No, you know what? I had really, not to break off into too large of a tangent, I had a really great conversation with those guys.
I know, I saw.
Back and forth on Christmas Eve.
I saw.
And Christmas Day.
It
so
was, it was nice.
It was very interesting. Those guys over there know what they're talking about, and I hope they understand that, you know, we're trying to entertain them here.
Sure.
So there you go, guys. As completely banal as possible, who do you think should play Trixie if Johnny Knoxville were Speed Racer, Vince Vaughn was Racer X? There you go. There you go. Let me know what you think. I can't wait to hear those answers.
All right. We'll see.
What else you got?
I'd like to go to the holy shit movie trailer of the week segment of the show now.
Okay. And what is that trailer?
That would be the Fantastic Four 2 trailer.
Holy shit.
Okay. So, finally, the Fantastic Four 2 trailer is available online, and not that shitty YouTube version that was out there for a day or two. A real version of it.
Holy shit.
I concur with you. 110% holy shit.
That's all Kev has to say.
That's
holy
all right.
Holy shit.
Because I'm just going to fill in the gaps.
I'm kind of anti-holy shit, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I don't get the whole relationship that they're trying to display right there with him flying, and why can the Human Torch keep up with him?
This
is
exactly,
like, going slowly?
This is exactly why we have Fantastic on the show. This is exactly why.
This is why? I thought it was so I can plug that wire into that box.
Well, that's the other reason.
You ground us.
Yes. Here is exactly why you're on this show, Fantastic. It's for this very reason.
You're the everyman's
geek. Because you do not know why that trailer was maybe the coolest trailer since the first X-Men movie trailer.
Okay.
I did not like the Fantastic Four, the first movie.
Right. Nah, it was all right.
In the end, it is just all right.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't so great, except it was nice to see those characters. The film translation, like every other comic book so far, the film translation forced to be different than the comic book, fine. However, the trailer for number two was fucking outstanding. And it is outstanding because it is not a typical film trailer in that it is not a bunch of clips that attempts to outline the story.
Right.
It is a single scene. Mm-hmm. A single scene.
Which makes it unique.
And let me just describe it for the three of you out there who have yet to see it. Yo, guy in Antarctica, I'm talking to you.
Oh, come on. He gets him on delay via disc.
Here's what happens. Dude in Antarctica. We have a listener who is stationed in Antarctica who is doing weather observations. Check this, dude. They open up, right? It's Reed and Sue's wedding. They're getting married. They're walking down the aisle. This may be exactly what happened in the comics, although I'm not sure. But if it I don't even care. Whatever it is, it's still cool. If it didn't happen in the comics, it should have. I think it did, though. And that would be, we need some other level of geek.
Yeah.
Oh, Foosh. Fishwoosh. .net guys, tell me if this happened in the comic or not. They're marching down the aisle. Right as they get up to the top of the aisle, something just flies past them at like breakneck speed. Just yep. flies past them. Reed turns to Johnny Storm and goes, "Johnny." And Johnny goes, "I just bought," in a great, yet another, in one line again, captured the character of the Human
Torch.
He was
the best one on the first film, too.
"I just bought this tux," and he leaps off the roof of wherever this wedding is taking place and screams, "Flame on!" And he is now chasing what you find out is the Silver Surfer.
Right.
Completely CGI'd Silver Surfer. Looks fantastic.
I think he looks really good.
Surfing, and he is you know, bobbing and weaving, and he's keeping up with the Silver Surfer. Obviously, Johnny has taken advantage of the time since the first movie to learn how to become a great flyer. I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. He's following the Silver Surfer. Following. Silver Surfer, he's keeping up pace with the Silver Surfer, who you can tell is just trying to either get him away from people or just, it's almost a mocking.
He's toying with him.
Yeah, the way he just falls down in the tunnel on the underside of the board and is looking back at him.
Yeah.
finally gets to a point where it just seems like the surfer slows down enough where the torch catches up with him. He simply turns around and grabs Johnny by the throat and then takes off for space.
Yep.
Once he's in the upper atmosphere where there's no oxygen, Johnny's got nothing to burn. And the surfer just releases him, and he's floating back down in the atmosphere.
That's it.
And that's the end of the trailer. Wow, holy shit, trailer of the week.
Yep. I have one complaint and one concern. All right, of the trailer. The concern is that may possibly end up being the best sequence in the entire film, which is a concern. But it's really too early to make that determination. I'm really just going based on the feel from the first film. So let's get that out of the way.
Okay.
The complaint is the whole phasing through the building thing.
Yeah.
He can't do that. Since when can he do that? That's new.
Okay. That may be new.
It's kind of weird.
This is partly where my confusion came, knowing a little bit about the Silver Surfer and right. a little bit more about the Fantastic Four, but not much about either. I was kind of confused with the whole fact that I had to come to grips with the fact that he was slow enough for the Human Torch to catch him. And I had to say to myself, all right, he's doing that on purpose for some reason I don't know about. And I just kind of said, all right, he takes him into space. I don't see how he lives past that. The guy's in space, and he's floating. That's it.
Okay, I don't think he's not in space per se. I say he's in the upper atmosphere where there is not enough oxygen for him to either breathe or burn, and the surfer tosses him back down. So the presumption is that he hits a point in the atmosphere again where he's able
to breathe
or
to burn.
Right.
Right. Which I'll even buy that. But they do that in movies sometimes where they kind of like take the guy into space and he's still alive. So I'll buy that. But still, yeah. I'm confused.
The phasing through buildings, you know what? If they're making the surfer that he can be intangible for a short amount of time period or something, I don't see that as a problem.
I don't know. You know my problem with that was it almost seemed unnecessary. Like, it seemed like it was an effect more than it was important. But look, I don't want to detract from it because I really did like the trailer.
I think
it just seemed unnecessary.
I think what it did was give it another opportunity for Johnny Storm to make a smart-ass comment.
Well, it certainly did that.
And that's fine with me.
Yeah,
that's
which just, he says after witnessing the surfer kind of phase through this building, and you see space warp around him as he pops out the other side. Johnny says
something like, "Oh, that's cool."
It's just another smart ass remark.
Yeah, yeah, it's character development for Johnny Storm even at that moment, and I'm fine with that. Right. How can you not like that?
So help me out here, like, what the fuck?
What do you want to know?
Why
what?
Why does he turn around? Why does he grab him by the neck? Why does he bring him into space? And why does he leave him to die?
Yeah, because
he can,
see,
sir.
He doesn't want to kill the Torch, right? Because he's not there to kill the Torch. Silver Surfer, really, he's kind of like emotionless, straight-laced forward guy. Yeah, like, he has a goal. He has to achieve that goal. Little shit gets in the way, and he kind of just... Yeah. He doesn't want to kill the Torch because that's not what he's there to do. Yeah. He just wants to get him off his back so he can go do what he wants to do.
Fantastic. The Surfer is Galactus's bitch.
Yeah.
He just goes down and sees if this planet has got enough salt and pepper for Galactus to swallow it.
He's kind of like, all right, this looks like a good stew.
Yeah, I'll just stir this up a little. All right, here you go. Boss, go ahead.
Buffet. Your lunch is on. You know, it's a... Ding, 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 ringing the triangle. And that's what it is.
And that now has me piqued curiosity-wise as to what they're going to do with this story. I mean, because if it's Galactus, it's huge.
Well, we know it's Galactus. They've said it's Galactus. But we know Doom is in there also.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but Doom being in there could be something as simple as... he reverts back to human form or it's something where it's like Harry in the first movie or Harry in the second movie where he finds the trove of his father's weapons and so on and so forth. It could be something as simple as, meanwhile, over in Latvia or wherever the fuck
I think it's going to be, if I had to make like a guess, I think it's going to be something like Doom is threatening the Earth again. Surfer can't let the Earth get destroyed because then Galactus can't have it, so he's going to temporarily help the Fantastic Four defeat Doom. You're going to see Galactus in some sort of very small, maybe a couple of snippets here and there kind of thing. And I really think this may be a a launch for a further developed Silver Surfer movie, which they've been talking about. They've been talking about this.
I don't know.
So, I don't know. I don't know either, but it definitely piqued my interest. It definitely looked pretty.
I think Doom is a side note, and the whole movie has to be Surfer and Galactus.
It's called The Rise of Silver Surfer.
Well, I know, but what I'm saying is I hope, by Rise of Silver Surfer, you can mean a lot of things. You can mean that, and I hope it's that he's rising up against Galactus.
Right.
I think that would be the hope, is that it's called The Rise of the Silver Surfer because he's rising above his station and attacking or helping to defeat his master, which means the whole film has got to be, that has to be what we saw, has to be the opening scene of the movie.
Yeah,
they got to get into it right away, which means Doom at best
is an incidental.
Has got to be incidental or a footnote, like I said, like as much as Harry's development as Hobgoblin in the end of the second Spider-Man movie is got to be what Doom is in this movie. It's got to be that young feller that plays Doom, whose name I forget. From Nip Tuck. He's got to be fantastic. Could you look up the name of the person that played Dr. Doom in the first Fantastic Four movie? Anyway, it's got to be him at something reverting to human form, being born again, something, not born again, but, being alive again. That sort of thing, that sort of story is what needs to occur there.
Okay.
At most.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's next year.
Which brings Doom back as the villain, not alone perhaps in the third movie, but some sort of Dooming combination.
Well, it is next year, so we won't have to wait long.
Transfer complete.
Fantastic.
Yeah, his name's Julian McMahon.
That's it. Thank you, Fantastic. I think it has to be something along Julian McMahon's return to humanity, because right now he's just a steel statue dude,
right,
isn't he? And they shipped him off at the end of that movie.
To Latveria, yeah.
Yeah, whatever that is.
In a container.
Right. Or that the story is that he, takes power back over there. Whatever it is, I think the scope of the Galactus and Silver Surfer story is such that it has to occupy more
the bulk
of
the movie.
That's what I think.
We'll see. It's next year.
I got to say thanks.
You're welcome.
This conversation has made me more interested than before, and I don't think the presence of the Surfer anymore is just an excuse to do the all chrome CG effect, which is so often done and so rarely done, believably.
Right.
Thanks.
Well, okay.
You're the best.
Well, I guess we had better go get our tuxes on.
Oh, I look sharp in a tux.
I bet.
A little bow tie. Can I wear my hat still,
though?
And
that
though?
Hat?
Fantastic.
Oh,
has,
I'm wearing the Jane
Fantastic
hat.
Has got a powder blue tux.
Nice. With ruffles?
With ruffles.
Yes.
And we'll be right back with the Geekies.
Ooh.
Couldn't come up with a more awful name for an award.
Yeah.
The Geekies.
Kev, have you heard of AmazingCustoms.com?
Why, no!
AmazingCustoms.com features customized action figures from He-Man, Simpsons, HeroClix, and other lines. It also features the Amazing Customs Podcast, the first and only podcast dedicated entirely to customizing action figures, hosted by Jim Ford. The Amazing Customs Podcast features hints, tips, recipes for customizing your own action figures at home. You can check it out at AmazingCustoms.com. Big Kev, what's that website again?
www.AmazingCustoms.com.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm.
Hey, this is Catherine Bach from Dukes of Hazzard, and y'all are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 2006 Geekies!
That's
right. It's the 2006 Geekies. We are your hosts. I'm Big Kev.
And I'm Matt.
And with us, as always, in the booth, Mr. Fantastic. Why don't we move right on to our first award?
All righty, Kev. We have, as our first award, the most anticipated film for the year 2007. Ooh. Looking into the future for this award.
Ooh, we're going right into the award show by starting with the future. That's great.
I didn't make
the
list.
And the nominees are...
Spider-Man 3. Transformers. Fantastic Four 2, The Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Ooh, that's an exciting
And there's
bunch.
A fourth.
There is?
300. And the envelope, please.
And the winner is?
Fantastic Four 2, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Yes, Fantastic Four. It's hard not to get excited about Fantastic Four 2 after seeing that trailer, I'm telling you.
It is. I think these might be a little biased because that trailer just came out this week. But, you know, those last-minute entries often
It's fresh in your mind. And I have to say that I think Spider-Man 3 is a close second, a very close second.
Certainly, especially with the addition of that Venom footage.
That's right. And but we got to say that that Fantastic Four 2 trailer just put us over the edge.
It did.
Wow, that's exciting. Let's move on to our second award of the evening.
Are we going to go at this pace and in these voices the whole time? Because I don't think I could take it.
The answer is yes. Wait. Let's move on to our second award. Second award category is the best bad comic book series of 2006.
Well, very interesting category.
I agree. This would be a comic book series that was huge and important and terrible to have to get through. And the nominees are Marvel Comics' Civil War, DC's Infinite Crisis, Marvel Comics' New Universe Revisited, and Marvel Comics Onslaught Revisited. Looks like a tough year for Marvel.
Wow. Jeez. And the envelope, please. And this year's winner is?
It's a tie.
Ooh, a tie, ladies and gentlemen.
Ooh. It's a tie between Marvel Comics Civil War and DC's Infinite Crisis.
I'm pretty positive that other people out there are going to hate us for that decision. But
that's okay. That's fine. They can hate us. And here's why I say it. They kind of crossed each other.
Okay.
Okay. Here's my thinking on this. Infinite Crisis sounded like a really great idea. And leading up to Infinite Crisis, there were a lot of really key events that happened. So you're really excited about Infinite Crisis. But when Infinite Crisis comes out, it's so heady and such need of the DC Encyclopedia of DC Universal History since 1986 that it becomes too heady to enjoy.
Huh.
And in the end, it just sort of peters out. However, what kind of balances this is the series 52, because all of the DC books are 1 year later.
Mm-hmm.
And capturing what happens in those 52 weeks is the series 52. So I'm kind of really liking 52, but I'm not liking Infinite Crisis the way it kind of started really high for me and just slowly kind of dipped out. Right? But in the end, something kicks it up, and that's 52. Marvel Civil War, however, was the exact opposite effect. In the sense that I didn't like the idea going in. I was reluctant to enjoy it. And I even right up until the first issue was saying that this is something I wasn't interested in. But I did want to pick up the first issue to see what would happen, what they would do. And they killed the New Warriors in the first issue. Now, that was really good. I thought that was really good. So it's kind of going uphill. But because Speedball is still alive, it plateaus a little bit. But then as the weeks go on, there is something interesting about some of the things that are going on in the sense of a train wreck, and you don't want to look away.
Right.
Like, you have to look at it. They revealed Spider-Man to the entire Marvel Universe, or the universe in which Civil War takes place, whichever one of the 100 universes that is. That's like, wow. You know, they changed Spider-Man's costume. Wow. They cap off those villains we talked about in one episode where Punisher just kills flat out Jester and Jack-O-Lantern, I think it was. Just flat out kills them. There's interesting things. However, then it starts to take that turn again. And as we're heading into the home stretch here, I don't foresee it pulling out. And I also can't foresee how it's possibly going to end on a good note. Which is as much as to say as the rumored ending, is so awful and so Marvel that I'm almost praying that it happens that way, because it will be, again, a train wreck to look at. So it's kind of like a balancing act between the two of them. I have to say that Crisis was probably executed a little bit better, but again, so heady, so thick. Civil War, more action-oriented, but so vastly unbelievable and wrecky that you almost have to look, that I don't think we were able to make a distinguishing choice between the two of them, so the award had to go to both of them.
Hmm.
That's what I think. Matt, any views?
No, I'm going to have to agree with you on all of those points, Kev.
That's good. Fantastic.
In the category of Best Next Generation Video Game Console of 2006.
Dude, this is a contest I can't wait to hear decided.
The nominees are...
pretty damn obvious.
The Nintendo Wii. Ooh. The Microsoft Xbox 360.
Ah.
And notably absent and not a nominee, the Sony PlayStation 3.
Oh. So wait, 360, did that come out this year?
This is the best next generation video game console of 2006.
So I... okay.
It doesn't have to have come out this year.
Oh, all right. And PS3 is not a nominee?
You won't even let me get to it.
And the envelope, please.
And the winner is... the Microsoft Xbox 360.
Wow. Wow, a surprise. It's a surprise win.
I'll say it's a surprise considering it didn't come out in 2006 and PS3 isn't a nominee. I'm going to need explanation here. Fantastic.
The explanations are this. PlayStation 3 you can't even find. Now that you can find it, nobody wants it.
That's true.
I believe Matt told me the other day that he saw a couple guys around walking through the mall. With
three of them on Saturday, as a matter of fact.
Right, and what actually happened there was people bought them. They bought them at the $600 price point or whatever it was. They were putting them on eBay and selling them and things like that. And like the stock market, anybody who tries to exploit using eBay, there's now people on eBay selling them for sub MSRP just to unload them. You can find people on Craigslist with posts that are looking to trade their Sony PlayStation 3 for Nintendo Wiis. And
wow.
And what are the reasons? The reasons are there's a couple good games out there. There's no one killer app. As much as Resistance Fall of Man is considered to be a really, really good game for it, it doesn't warrant the purchase of a $700 or $600 machine just to play that one game. The Nintendo Wii, on the other hand, has kind of filled that gap between the price point and availability, and capitalizing the fact that Sony just really dropped the ball on getting it out there, having, you know, the games to back it up. However, winner, even in 2006, although yes, it did come out in late 2005, is the Xbox 360, and that may be the reason, in that it came out in 2005, and since they were first to market, they have by far the most mature, most developed online strategy. They have the Microsoft Live Arcade. They have the Live Marketplace. A couple weeks ago, they just started releasing movies and TV shows in HD. So, which means that without an HD DVD or DVD player, The third format here for you is hook that Xbox up to Xbox Live using a regular Ethernet cable, sign up, and go buy for between $9 and $20 an HD movie to watch on your HD TV in 720p or 1080i, which you can't do right now because you don't have the disc. Sorry, you don't have the player. But you can do that with your Xbox. No additional equipment required.
I can play 1080.
You can't play 1080?
I can.
No, I know. Oh. But you can't play an HD DVD. Right now, you don't have the means to play an HD movie because you don't have the player hooked up. Although you do have that Xbox 360 right there, which you can download an entire HD movie and watch on that nice big 60-some-odd inch TV that you have right there. Hmm. Not to mention the lineup of games that came out, including Gears of War and Call of Duty 2 and 3 in that time. And
Civil War.
Civil War, your favorite game. Games like Saints Row, which kind of filled niches and... It's kind of their Grand Theft Auto killer. So they have a lot going for them.
Okay. I think that's a valid explanation. Thank you, Mr. Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you. And let's move right along into our next big award here. And what is that award, Matt?
It would be the best single action figure in the 5 to 7 inch scale of 2006.
Excellent, excellent category. Let's get right to the nominees.
All righty.
You know what we're missing?
What?
We're missing the snappy banter about the award.
Yeah, it's okay.
Or that like pseudo-sexual interplay between the host and hostess.
We have that.
I'm not getting any of
we
that.
We have that all the time.
Well, I know what has the best single action between 5 and 7 inches that I own.
Yeah,
do
that's
you?
Single action figure between 5 and 7 inches.
Oh, sorry. And the nominees are... V for Vendetta, character V from NECA. The Icons Hulk green version from Toy Biz.
Now, Kev, I believe that he is outside of the criteria of the award.
Ooh. I disagree, and you're just going to have to wait.
All right.
And rounding out the category this year... Infinite Crisis Series 1 Power Girl from DC Direct.
That seems like an odd addition to this elite category of figure.
Well, I think they're all good choices. Let's get right over to the winner.
And the envelope, please. And the winner is...
Marvel Legends Icon Hulk, the green version.
Please explain.
What's to explain?
He's outside of the scale.
What is... Really? Is he outside of the scale?
Hey, let me guess here.
Well, we selected 4 to 7 inches.
Hold on.
Can I
let
guess?
Let him guess.
Okay. My guess is, because I know... I think that I know the way you think. My guess is that although the Hulk figure itself is larger than between 5 and 7 inches, he belongs in that scale because the other figures surrounding him are 5 and 7 inches. It just happens to be that he's... larger in that scale.
And Fantastic is exactly correct.
Wow.
First time ever.
Now, may I ask why the green version and not the gray version? Is it because the gray version has the quirky haircut and Cro-Magnon jaw and eyebrows?
Okay, I agree. I like the sculpt better on the green version than the gray version. But the gray version is... more along the lines of that first sort of Hulk incarnation where he had that shelf of a brow. And so I don't disagree with it as far as it being a sculpt or not. I just think that the green version is so classic and so well done and so well sculpted and so in scale with Marvel Legends figures. Look, every time the Hulk has been presented... in conjunction with other characters, the Hulk is never, you know, borrowing a sweatshirt from Captain America. And you
it's
know
true.
The reason? It's because he's humongous.
Right.
And it's not just in the
And Cap just bought that sweatshirt. It's like brand new.
Exactly. And it's not that he's in the bodybuilder sense just a better bodybuilder than Steve Rogers.
Right.
It's that he is the Hulk, he's humongous.
Okay.
He's always, to me, seemed that he's got to be a good 3 feet taller than anybody else. 2.5, 3 feet taller than his fellow Avengers. Always in the background. There's always three guys in the front. Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor standing in front of him. And he's filling up the back space.
Okay, so now I know why he was the winner. I know why he qualifies. But I still have to know, why Power Girl?
Power Girl was chosen because she's simply a beautiful sculpt. I mean, okay. She's simply, they have absolutely and utterly captured the character here. Hmm. And it's not in the sense of trying to capture the style of the artist, who in this case is Phil Jimenez, because it does capture that the Phil Jimenez style, but not in the sense that we've talked about, like capturing a unique style. Phil Jimenez is a great artist and he does have a style, but it lends itself to being a very fine generic style, unlike a Tim Sale or a painted Alex Ross.
Right.
To get it to a figure to look like it just walked off of the page from one of those books is one thing, but to capture a character this well. I mean, the big thing about Power Girl, well, the big things about Power Girl are her breasts. Aww. And they didn't skimp out here. They didn't go for a PC version of the character. They really drove home the fact that this is the way the character appears in the book, Infinite Crisis. And the sculpt is great. The production is great. I really liked it. I really liked it so much better than a lot of stuff that came out. Sure, I'm going to get a lot of crap for it from the guys over at Fushwoosh. What is it again?
Fushnet.com.
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 I'm going to get a lot of crap from those guys, and I'll take the heat. I really just liked the figure, and since it was up to me to pick the nominees, that's what I picked. And rounding out the category,
you don't even have to explain him.
Just a great piece.
Sure.
It's just a great piece overall. Great character from a great movie. And I don't think you need a further explanation. Fantastic. Do you have something to say about that?
Is this it?
Yeah.
This is the Hulk here?
Yeah.
It's nice, but this belongs with a figure that's like a Captain America that's like this big?
Yeah.
7 inches?
Oh, yeah.
This freaking thing is huge.
He's got to be, what do you say, 9, 10 inches tall?
Probably. And another thing, in terms of articulation, he has a lot of points of articulation, right?
Yeah.
Especially for us as a large figure, but you can't actually move him in any way. The only thing that he can really do is this, and he has ball joint legs, which usually allows the guy to kind of do like a side kick or a back kick. He's not going anywhere.
Hulk's not really famous for
his articulation,
for kicking stuff.
It's really kind of Hulk smash, which he could do. The arm does move up and down.
Yes. And Hulk not known for his ninja-like skill.
The one thing that you get the drift that he can do here is the skull crush with the hand, or the head grab.
Across your head. Which he does grab characters by the head. And you know what? Any other Marvel Legend Hulk that's come out so far has never been able to even approach being what I consider the correct scale until this one. I'm very, very excited about this piece. Very excited. And I'm very glad that it won. I'm glad all the votes came in for it the way that I wanted it to.
It was neck and neck, but it turned out the way you would have liked anyway. Well, why don't we move on to the next award, which would be the best new toy line for the year 2006.
Ooh, best new toy line. Now that's encompassing quite a bit.
It is encompassing quite a bit. But I've been able to narrow it down to three solid nominees.
Okay, what are our nominees?
Lost by McFarlane. Tonner, Harry Potter. And the Sideshow 12-inch Star Wars line.
May I have the envelope, please?
And the winner is Lost by Todd McFarlane.
Wow.
I know. The Sideshow line is a great line. The likenesses are amazing. The accessories are amazing. But it is another Star Wars line. And it loses a little bit there, I think.
Oh, I think that you and I are definitely not in agreement on this award.
That's okay.
Thankfully, you had Fantastic to vote on your side.
Exactly.
And he paid me.
That too. Shh. It's a secret. The Tonner Harry Potter line, while certainly impressive, while certainly amazing and fantastic, and it's about time someone did a Harry Potter line like this, it just didn't seem like it was... It just didn't seem like it beat out that Lost line.
And let me tell you, just an honor to be nominated here. Let's not forget that.
Sure.
I mean, because we have a lot of fucking lines to look through.
Well, you know what? First time, really, for Tonner to be in this market, to really be a part of our geek culture. And certainly, I think that they belong in this category. And I think that they have a very good chance of being in this category again next year. But we'll have to see.
Okay.
But on to the Lost figures.
All right.
An amazing show. An amazing, dedicated fan base. And finally, a license that McFarlane got that they really, really could do something with. I think overall it was a great license for them. I think that the sculpts on the figures were spot on perfect. I think that the play set was probably one of the best play set diorama sets to come out in a really, really long time. And I think that McFarlane definitely earned themselves the number one spot this year with this line.
Wow, that's an interesting choice. Don't know if I agree with you there, but okay. In fact, I know I didn't.
Plus, I also think it's kind of nice to see a TV show get that much attention. You oftentimes don't see that. It's very, you know, you get a lot of, with the exception of maybe like wrestling, but you get a lot of movies and movie-based figures. You get a lot of, obviously, comic book-based figures. But really, for a TV show to capture an audience so much that it warrants a figure line, I think that says something about it.
And we'll be back with the first annual Geekies after these messages. Matt, they're going to do it again. New York Comic Con is returning this February.
That's right. February 23rd, 24th, and 25th at the Jacob Javits Convention Center, right in the heart of Manhattan.
Did you see the guest list on this thing? Stan the Man Lee.
Excelsior.
Ugh. J. Michael Straczynski and the one and only Kevin Smith.
Ooh.
And the three and only us.
All right.
The Big Kev's Geek Stuff staff, myself, Matt, and Mr. Fantastic will
be in attendance. At his first con appearance ever.
That's true, his first con appearance ever.
In addition, this year the New York Comic Con is hosting the 2007 Anime Awards.
In addition to that, Matt, there'll be tons of gaming, comics, toys, displays, special functions, exclusives. I'm sure they're going to have the entire gamut of the convention scene at this amazing convention.
You can go to www.nyccomiccon.com for more information. That's NewYorkComicCon.com.
Forgive me if I don't shake hands.
Hi, it's Val Kilmer from the movie Tombstone. You're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Isn't that a daisy?
And he really is big.
What an ugly thing to say.
Stay tuned.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Welcome back to the 2006 Geekies.
Welcome back, Kev.
Matt, earlier this week, awards were given out that were unfortunately not able to make this broadcast. And they were given out by our special friend, Alicia Witt.
Alicia Witt.
Over at the Awards Center.
Just an excuse to work her in there.
What?
Do we have to do an Alicia Witt stinger for you?
No.
No, but you have to do an Alicia Witt voice now.
I'm not doing an Alicia Witt voice.
But that doesn't make any sense then.
Hey, Alicia Witt gave out the awards. What's your problem? I had to pick somebody hot to give out the awards, and I picked Alicia Witt.
Could add Power Girl to
just
it.
People love it. Just do your impression.
I'm not doing an Alicia Witt impression.
He couldn't do an Alicia Witt impression if he had a Alicia red Witt wig impression. And an impressive and body.
Exactly.
Anyway, here's some of the awards that were handed out by Alicia Witt earlier this week.
For Best Album of the Year.
That doesn't sound anything like her.
I'm not trying to sound like her. I don't care about her.
I'm telling him, not you.
For Best Album of the Year, Endless Wire by The Who.
Goddamn right.
For Best Revival Movement by a Dedicated Fan Base, The Browncoats for Firefly and Serenity.
Amen. I hear they just squeaked out past those lost losers.
Mm-hmm. For Best Con Exclusive of 2006, The Flocked Evil Monkey by Mezco.
Yeah, the large evil monkey that's sharing space with us here in the studio.
Mm-hmm. For Best Fast Food Promotional Game, Sneak King.
Oh, yes.
The Burger, Xbox 360.
Burger King Xbox 360 game. Nice.
Best accessory for a figure or statue, the Mask of the Humongous from the Road Warrior with Butters from Mezco.
That's right, from Mezco's South Park line, the Mask of the Humongous in with Butters. Fantastic accessory. Brilliant.
The video game accessory most likely to cause damage to your child or TV.
I bet this one is a toughie.
The Wiimote.
That was really obvious.
And for best hidden detailing on an action figure or statue, Buffy Summers' thong on the quarter-scale Sideshow Buffy figure.
Yeah, they painted a thong on her. That was brilliant maneuvering there by the folks at Sideshow. You got to actually go looking for that little bit of detailing, but it's there.
And our good friend Ken was the one who found it.
That's true. Of course it was Ken. Well, anyway, our thanks to the gorgeous and talented Alicia Witt for handing out those awards earlier this week. Thanks a lot, Alicia, and give me a call. Okay.
Why don't we get back into the awards?
I'm here.
Live tonight.
I'm waiting. Got the phone all charged up.
Mr. Fantastic.
In the category of best energy drink that I have consumed during the taping of this radio show.
Wait a minute.
It's brilliant.
What?
How is that award relevant to anything?
It's helped him produce the show.
These awards are not about the show.
Listen, you said go home, think of some awards, make them good. And this is good, man.
All right, go ahead. Let's just get through it.
And I'm sorry to break format here, but I'm just going to give you the runners-up and then the winner.
Go
because
for
it's a clear winner. And if anybody's a energy drink connoisseur, they know this one right off the bat.
Great. So it's now a useless award, and he's breaking format. Good.
Go ahead.
Fantastic.
Hold tight. And the second runner-up.
Wait, hold on 1 second. Yeah. Well, hold on 1 second.
What?
And now, here's Mr. Fantastic with It's News to Him.
Nothing. I just want to get that going. Okay.
And the second runner-up is Sobe Superman, adult energy supplement, available for $1.99, contains ginseng, guarana, and yerba mate. That's geek-related. And the first runner-up is the 40-ounce 7-Eleven black iced coffee that I made from the Colombian roast pot, not from the iced coffee machine. And the winner is Extreme Thermo Rush Lemon Lime by Worldwide, $2.50. This thing is like liquid crack.
I'm Mr. Fantastic, and that's news to me.
And that's news to him.
I did buy the Superman one because I knew that I was coming here. And I don't even know if you remember. That was the day of the blackout.
I remember.
And that was a pretty good one, although the reviews online are not good for the Superman drink.
Uh-oh. There are reviews online?
Energydrinkreviews.com.
Are we really continuing this conversation?
That's sad.
I don't know if coffee is really considered an energy drink, but considering that most drinks are based around caffeine,
Did it give you energy?
Yeah.
Well, then it's... What the hell are we talking about?
All right, the next award. in our award ceremony of 2006.
We're heading right towards Geekies. The end. We're
the second right... to last award, actually.
Wow, we're really getting in there. Seems like a long night already.
The best new television show for 2006.
Wow.
I know. It's hard.
And what are the nominees?
Dexter on Showtime. Heroes on NBC. And Firefly, because it never really ends. It's like showing on sci-fi and stuff.
You're a fucking retard. And the envelope, please.
And the winner is Heroes.
Thank God you said that, because if you had said Firefly, I'd have lunged across this studio.
Now, I'm not that bad. You have to give Heroes its due.
Heroes, not only just... in our genre, but really across the board, one of the best received shows of the year. It's got much more of a following than just geeks and the like.
Oh, sure. The show is so rich in character and the storyline is so in depth that anybody that is a fan of television shows can't help but love it. I mean, Lost fans, old X-Files fans, just, you know, anybody in general. It's just a really good show. It's just a really well-acted, well-written show.
And Dexter, of course, great show on Showtime about a serial killer played by, I think it's Michael C. Hall, isn't
it? Yeah, from 6 Feet Under.
Yes, and he's playing a serial killer who kill people who deserve it. So it's like a, it's almost like a vigilante. It's a little sick and twisted, but it is very niche, very genre. Somewhere in the horror, I guess, niche, sorta, with a slight vigilante thing. So it's kind of a subculture for us, but still definitely in our
realm. Isn't he like
a
police officer or an investigator or something?
He's a blood splatter specialist with
like
the police
that.
Department. Yeah, great show, and definitely deserved to be on this list. And I gotta say, definitely one of my favorites this year.
Fortunately, Heroes beat it.
Yeah. And what was that last one? Oh, right. Never mind. Junkie.
Exactly.
God, you're pathetic.
I can't help it.
I like it, too. You don't see me going berserk?
It's in the hat. The hat made me
it's
do it.
It's this kind of dedication that makes things happen, though.
Hey, you don't got to tell me. What didn't... was that award it won last week with the beguiling and beautiful Alicia Witt?
It won the... it won the best revival movement by a fan base.
See?
And it's an ongoing movement.
Yeah,
I mean, if it continually sort of posthumously wins awards like this.
They could easily have more awards presented to them by Alicia Witt next year.
It's possible.
I think it's a definite possibility. We've already booked Alicia Witt for those the awards that don't make the broadcast for next year.
Have we really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Alicia Witt was kind enough to say yes, she'd come aboard and do that.
That's awesome.
And yeah, I'm
very excited.
Me too. Finally going to get to ask her out.
Nice. Well, why don't we move on to tonight's final category, the best movie of 2006.
Well, let's be specific. It is the best comic book movie.
Okay, sorry.
2006. We have to be specific about that because you're talking about a very wide bunch. We want to narrow it down a little bit more in our genre. Although we think there are some great non-comic related movies, not the least of which would be Pirates of the Caribbean or Caribbean.
Right.
2, Dead Man's Chest.
Yes, excellent film.
Excellent film. And there are others as well, and we're not going to spend time acknowledging them.
Nope.
You want to know what they are? Go to my DVD collection.
Exactly.
The nominees were the best comic book inspired movie of 2006 are X-Men 3, The Last Stand, Superman Returns, and V for Vendetta.
And the envelope, please. And the 2006 Geeky for best comic book film goes to
V for Vendetta.
Bravo.
Yeah, not really a big surprise.
Not at all. Especially in that category.
Yeah.
Or with those other nominations, I should say.
Superman Returns was a... To say disappointment would really be undershooting it a lot. It was a big disappointment. It wasn't everything it could have been. It had a lot of allegory and a lot of Christian symbolism, Christ symbolism.
About
dying
the only
and
thing
returning.
You could say about it personally is that it was nostalgic. I give it nostalgic.
Okay, you can give it nostalgic. I'll give it a, come on, Brian, you should have did X3. And speaking of X3, wow. Talk about disappointment.
It's true. It was kind of sad.
I mean, to power out of the box with two fantastic movies, only to slide groping and desperate into home plate as the guy tags you out, that would be X3. I mean, it's just not without its moments, not without its funky little things, but overall, The Last Stand is not The Last Stand. Nothing is permanent. The cure doesn't work. Xavier isn't dead. You know, and who knows what the fates of some of these other dangling storylines are going to be and how they're going to be handled in the future, and there will be a future. So again, X-Men Last Stand, not The Last Stand, as far as I'm concerned.
I thought it was so bad, I was surprised that it even made it to the nomination round.
Well, what else did we have? We had to do, well, we chose to do comic book movies. These were the three biggest ones, unfortunately.
I mean, I'm not ashamed to admit that we did spend a little bit of time struggling over this and thinking about these nominations. And me and Kevin both still, to a certain degree, have this gnawing feeling that perhaps we've missed something, but neither of us can figure out what it is. So
perhaps the guys over at Fushnet.com.
I think they're mostly action figure guys.
Well, you don't
there.
Know. Those guys are smart. They know stuff.
Well, you know what?
Let us know.
You know what? The guys over there, the guys over at Comic Geek Speak, the guys over at Secret Identity, the guys over at Hero Envy, all great podcasts, by the way.
The guys, listen. The guys who write us emails, the guy in Antarctica.
The guy that came back from Iraq, by the way.
He's back.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. He's back.
Anybody out there, if you think we missed something with this category, by all means, send it in.
And we'll make a correction.
Yeah.
Because we think we're missing something, but we can't put a finger on it.
Let's talk about that winner. V for Vendetta.
Sure.
I mean, just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely perfectly executed on film.
I mean, the purists will complain.
Well, sure. But I mean, there was obviously some license and updating that had been done.
Sure, some major changes to the storyline, one might argue, but necessary.
Really? Major? Would you say major?
Well, I think a lot of people would argue the way it ended was pretty different from how it ended in the book. But I think it was necessary for film.
All in all, a near-perfect film adaptation, opening the way for more independent comic book translations to film.
Of which there are a ton coming up in the next year.
Yes, and hopefully opening up the way for films like The Watchmen.
Hopefully.
And I think that brings to a close the 2006 announcer guy. Thank you for watching the 2006 Geeky Awards.
Yeah, I thought that would be the end.
Yeah. Matt, is there a better online resource for action figure news and information than action-figure.com?
No. Actionfigure.com is the premier website.
Slow down. It's action-figure.com, Matt.
I'm sorry? Action-figure.com is the premier website for all your toy news, reviews, photos, and it's updated daily.
They have a great staff over there. They're great writers. They know what they're talking about. They answer questions that you want to have answered.
You aren't going to find a better source for action figure information on the web.
That's right. So point your internet browser to www.action-figure.com. And go there today.
This is Yakko
and Wacko from Animaniacs, and you're listening to
Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Keep him tuned in.
Yeah, because if you don't, he'll kill you.
Yeah, he is really big, folks. We're looking at him. It's scary.
We're Animaniacs, totally insane-y, Inky and the Brainy. Animaniacs, those are the facts.
And we're back with Geek Stuff, episode 38. And the award goes to
me for coming up with that segment.
Here. There's your applause. You happy?
No.
Good.
It's so hack.
I know.
But it was funny, though.
It was pretty funny. The geekies. Who'd have thought?
Geekies. Ugh.
Yeah. Ugh. Anyway.
Because the bit couldn't get hackier, we're giving out awards, and then we call them the geekies. Ugh.
Suck.
Before we get into the how awful it was, what else did we talk about there?
We talked briefly, or we mentioned at least, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, the title for the seventh book in the Harry Potter series.
Well, the few things I'm hearing about this one, the rumors are incredible. Harry dies, Hermione and Ron hook up and have sex.
Hey, dude,
I'm just telling you what I heard. These rumors proved to be untrue.
I don't know who your sources are.
All right. What else did we talk about?
We talked about the addition of the Optimus Prime line in the Transformers trailer from last week. The freedom is the right of all sentient beings.
Right.
In addition to that, the viral marketing campaign website that has been set up, sector7.org. That's sector, then 7 spelled out, .org. And when it asks you for the password, it's Takara, T-A-K-A-R-A, 83. So you should go and check that out. It's pretty neat. It's got some neat stuff on there. And then we talked about the Holy Shit movie trailer of the week.
Holy Shit, Fantastic Four 2, The Rise of the Silver Surfer. Incredible trailer. If you haven't checked it out, you should definitely do so ASAP. Go over to apple.com. They have it over there. I talked about the exciting remake of Halloween by Rob Zombie, and we introduced the new stinger that's going to follow each and every bit of weekly news about this remake. And the latest news, Malcolm McDowell will play Dr. Loomis.
Wow.
And the rumor of Tyler Mane as the adult Michael Myers has hit the airwaves. So that's very exciting.
Wow. He's going to become the next Doug Jones, dare I say.
I think your analogy is inaccurate.
Why? The guy behind the mask?
Well, he wasn't really behind a mask, really, in Troy.
No, you're right.
And he wasn't really behind a mask in X-Men.
I apologize. I said he's going to become.
Doug Jones never really wore a mask, really.
Well, did he wear a mask as Abe Sapien? No,
CGI.
CGI.
Model, so.
What about in Pan's Labyrinth? Is that CGI or is that makeup?
Hey.
I don't know. Focus. Sorry. We also talked about the rumor that in the Wachowski brothers' version of the Speed Racer film, Keanu Reeves, Neo, may potentially be playing Speed Racer. But really, that was kind of secondary to the fact that we're throwing out there in a Speed Racer film starring Johnny Knoxville as Speed Racer and Vince Vaughn as Racer X, who would play Trixie.
There it is. That's your homework. Write in who would play Trixie in a Speed Racer movie featuring Johnny Knoxville as Speed Racer and Vince Vaughn as Racer X.
Yep.
I want to talk about the Mach 5, Neo.
I don't really think we need to sum up the geekies at all. They are what they are. If you really want to know who won again, go back and listen to that segment.
I think you're underestimating the draw of the geekies.
I'm just saying is all.
Okay.
I'm just saying we don't need to rehash them in the wrap-up.
Hey, and I'm sure we're going to get rehashed all about them from the fellows over at
Fooshnet.com. FWOOSHnet.com.
And in an all serious note, I really do love those guys. They're smart. They know what they're talking
about. No, I know.
Even though they really, really hate me.
Yeah, if you do want to pick up this year's winning energy drink, Worldwide's Extreme Thermo Rush Lemon and Lime, you can't just go to like 7-Eleven or CVS. You have to actually go to like a GNC or vitamin shop. It's technically a supplement, but I call it liquid crack.
Right. Wow.
You know about supplements, don't you, beautiful?
In addition to that, we would be remiss in not mentioning that on January 6th, from 11 p.m. to midnight, Big Kev's Geek Stuff invades XM Satellite Radio.
Invades. We're going to bust our way in the door. Little Sim, please, can we do our show?
On channel 202, The Virus. If you don't have XM Radio, you should check out xmradio.com for more information on how to get a free trial so that you can listen to the show live. I'm actually going to be posting some information about that on the message board. You'll see a thread about the XM show right underneath the Geek Stuff discussion section of the board. So you definitely should check all of that stuff out. We're looking forward to doing that show. And I'd also like to make two special mentions of two good friends of the show, two podcasts that have really been pushing for us, have really been helping us with getting the word out there about this XM show. That would be Hero Envy. They do a really great webisode podcast out there, and you can check them out at glintofhope.com. Really worth checking out. Really funny show. They actually have a DVD out now with the first few episodes of their show. I think you can get through Diamond, so you can look into that. The other show would be Secret Identity. We've made good friends with those guys at the past couple of conventions we've been at the Big Apple Cons. A really good group of guys. They do a really good show about comic books. And you can check out their show at secretidentity.podomatic.com. So thanks, guys, for helping us out. We appreciate it.
And coming up next week, episode 39.
Yeah.
It'll be up Thursday, I swear to God.
Well, we weren't doing an episode 39.
No, I don't want the XM one to be 39. It's gay. It should be a nice round number like 40, which means a very special episode. Ooh, that's it. Episode 39. A very special episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Fantastic something?
Is it the one where I get offered drugs and I try and think of a really good excuse?
Actually,
to
no.
Talk about them on the air like you did tonight with your drugs?
Actually, no. It's the one where you get pregnant and all of the other students' moms vote to have you thrown out of school. We're going to start calling you Spike.
Yo, that's a good, did that happen to you?
No, it was an episode of Degrassi from when I was a kid.
You're quoting Degrassi?
When I was a kid, it was a girl named Spike.
End it. Please end it. There's nowhere to even go with that.
And on that note, we cue the music.